I'm reading from the English Standard Version, Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Hear the word of the Lord. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Gracious God, we ask that you would give us humble, receptive, teachable, obedient hearts, that we may receive what you have revealed and do what you have commanded. We pray in Christ's holy name. Amen. Well, why study Proverbs? I want to give you the short answer, and then I want to give you the 24-minute and 30-second answer. Why study Proverbs? The short answer is life is hard. Life is hard. Now let me give you the longer answer. No one is immune from the complexities and the difficulties that come with living in a fallen world, the circumstances of living in a fallen world, the relationships of living in a fallen world. Life is hard. And your problems may range from minor annoyances like a flat tire at an inconvenient time to very serious life-threatening circumstances such as an illness. And yes, there are some days in this life that are full of more joy than difficulty. But if you live long enough, there will be those days where it seems like there is nothing but one obstacle after another, after another, after another. When will it, if it will ever end? Life is hard. And the Bible never tells us, despite what some false preachers will tell you, the Bible never tells us that the life of a believer will be without problems. In fact, it tells us just the opposite over and over and over again. I don't know how many times we saw that in our recent study of 1 and 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 1:5, Paul said, "For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings." It's just a statement of fact. If you're a believer, you will share in an abundance of Christ's sufferings. So through Christ, we share abundantly in his comfort too. So even in the scriptures where it talks about the comforts and joys of this life, it's couched within that understanding that it's going to be with the backdrop of sufferings. Friends, the great hope, the great promise of the Christian faith is that of perfect and lasting and eternal joy. We long for that day. But that day will not be on this earth in this lifetime. That will be when we enter into our eternal rest in the presence of Christ. As long as we're here, we will have problems. So how do we handle life's problems? That's a very practical question. How do we deal with difficult people? How do we deal with difficult circumstances? How do we deal with uncomfortable situations? How do we act? What do we say? Now we're getting into the book of Proverbs. The Bible has a word to describe the person who navigates through the difficulties, the inevitable difficulties of life, who navigates through those well. And that word is wise. It is the wise man, it is the wise woman who lives life well in spite of and even through the inevitable difficulties. That person is wise. But where do we find wisdom? Where do we find that ability to navigate the difficulties of life well? Well, of course, we turn to the Scriptures and we begin to answer that question by looking at the prologue, these first seven verses of the book of Proverbs, and it leaves no doubt. It's very clear about the purpose of this book. Verse 1, chapter 1, associates the book with Solomon. He is the primary author, the primary collector, the primary editor, that great and wise king of this book. And then gives us the clear intention to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. At the top of the list of the purpose of the book of Proverbs is the concept of wisdom. This is primarily a book about wisdom, the teaching of wisdom. And the words wisdom and wise run through the prologue. They'll run through the entire book. Lord willing, we'll continue to see this, the theme of wisdom. So if you want to truly understand the book of Proverbs, it's important to understand this fundamental concept of wisdom. It's rich. It's deep. It's one that we will continue to wrestle with in the weeks ahead and develop and flesh out. And by God's grace, something we will wrestle with all the days of our lives. We've got to start somewhere. We'll develop our understanding as we go. But this morning, I want to give you three characteristics. The vocabulary in these opening verses point us to three characteristics of the concept of biblical wisdom. And the first is this. Biblical wisdom has an intellectual component to it. Biblical wisdom is intellectual. Now that's implied in the words that we have in our prologue, words like understanding, increase in knowledge, increase in learning. That alerts us to an intellectual component. And let me give you an illustration. If you want to turn back with me to the book of 1 Kings, a few books back in your Old Testament. And keep in mind, this is King Solomon who is collecting these proverbs. And King Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 4 is described to us. 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 29. Gives us a good illustration that wisdom has an intellectual component, a component of knowledge. Beginning verse 29 of 1 Kings 4. God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding beyond measure and breadth of mind like the sand on the seashore, so that Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the people of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all other men, wiser than Ethan the Ezrahite and Heman and Chalcol and Darda, the sons of Mahol. And his fame was in all the surrounding nations. Now, pay attention to this next verse. This illustrates the intellectual component. He also spoke 3,000 proverbs. That is, he had 3,000 proverbs committed to memory. And his songs were 1,005 committed to memory. Verse 33, he spoke of trees from the cedar that is in Lebanon, to the hyssop that grows out of the wall. He spoke also of beasts and of birds and of reptiles and of fish. He had a fascination with natural history, learning, growing in knowledge, the intellectual pursuit of gathering sayings, memorizing things, proverbs, songs. Verse 34, and people of all the nations came to hear the wisdom of Solomon and from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom. So number one, wisdom is intellectual. There's a component of knowledge, but there's more to wisdom than that. That's certainly not all there is to the biblical concept of wisdom, and you're alerted to that In the book of Proverbs itself, if you turn with me from Proverbs chapter 1 to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs also attributes wisdom to animals. Look at Proverbs 30, beginning in verse 24. Proverbs 30, 24. It says, four things on earth are small, but they are exceedingly wise. Four things on earth are small, but they are exceedingly wise. The ants are people not strong, yet they provide their food in summer. The rock badgers are a people not mighty, yet they make their homes in cliffs. The locusts have no king, yet all of them march in rank. The lizard you can take in your hands, yet it is in kings' palaces. So this alerts us that wisdom is not just a matter of intelligence. These animals don't have a high IQ, right? And yet they know how to navigate life well. In their context, they are exceedingly wise. They have a remarkable skill of living. So wisdom does have the intellectual component, that's the knowing that. But there's a second characteristic to wisdom. It's not just intellectual, it is also practical. It's not just the knowing that, it's the knowing what. There's a difference, right? In knowing that and knowing what. It's practical. And you see this if you go back to Proverbs chapter 1 and the idea, the words here of prudence and understanding. In fact, we might just bottom line define biblical wisdom as the ability to cope with daily problems. The ability to cope with daily problems. The basic idea of wisdom is the skill to live. The skill to live. It's a practical skill, knowing how to act, knowing how to think, knowing what to say, knowing what not to say in any given situation. It's the practical ability to know how to avoid many problems in life that are avoidable, and the practical skill of knowing how to navigate through the problems of life that are unavoidable. So wisdom is intellectual, it is also practical. That ability, whether you're a lizard or a rock badger or a human being, to size up the situation, to look at the boundaries, to see the physical and psychological and relational and spiritual realities and boundaries and make a wise choice to navigate through that. It's practical. We have an intellectual component to biblical wisdom. We have a practical component to biblical wisdom. Let me give you a third characteristic of biblical wisdom that we see in the vocabulary of these opening verses to Proverbs. It's intellectual, it's practical. Thirdly, it is moral. Wisdom, that ability to navigate life as understood by the Scriptures, is a moral skill. You see that in words like righteousness and justice and equity of verse 3. Those are ethical terms, right? And this alerts us to a running theme we'll see through the book of Proverbs, that you cannot possess wisdom without biblical morality. And you cannot possess biblical morality without wisdom. It cuts both ways. Those who are wise in this life are on the side of that which is right, that which is good, that which is moral. So the prologue to the book of Proverbs tells us that one major reason to study the book of Proverbs is to gain wisdom. the ability to navigate life well. And the vocabulary here gives us a rich picture of what that looks like. It's intellectual, it's practical, and it's moral. But we're not done yet. This all points to something. The prologue, these first seven verses, applies these ability and points them to a very special area. This intellectual skill, this practical skill, this moral skill is all focused on the area of interpretation. Interpretation, the latter half of this prologue, beginning in verse 6, focuses on the ability of the wise person to interpret things correctly. Look at verse 6. This practical skill, this intellectual skill, this moral skill is focused to understand a proverb, understand a saying or a parable, understand the words of the wise, and understand their riddles or enigmas. All of these words indicate that wisdom points us to the mysteries of life, the enigmas of life, the parables of life, the hard things to understand in life. You think of a riddle or an enigma, and sometimes that is used for casual entertainment. We have a book of riddles that we sometimes pull out on a long car drive and enjoy just the intellectual entertainment. It's not talking about that. The idea here of understanding a riddle is the idea that life is filled with riddles. Life is filled with enigmas. Life is filled with perplexing things, circumstances, people, problems. And biblical wisdom is the intellectual, the practical, and the moral ability to probe and interpret and deeply understand and untangle and unpack those deep complexities and problems. The book of Proverbs itself, you probably know, is full of difficult sayings and enigmas and riddles. So even to read the book takes the skill of wisdom. You have to exercise the skill of wisdom to understand the book of Proverbs. And as we get into it, we'll see that an effective use of the book of Proverbs requires a whole lot more than just simply reading the words on the page and understanding them. That's a start. That's the intellectual component to wisdom. But the wise person knows how to apply a proverb. We might say the intellectual process of understanding a proverb is difficult, but the more difficult process is having the wisdom to know how to practically apply it. In fact, let me just alert you to this warning. If you flip forward to Proverbs chapter 26, I'll point out a running theme to this, and we'll come back to this, Lord willing, but in Proverbs 26, there's two great zingers here. Proverbs 26:7. Like a lame man's legs which hang useless is a proverb in the mouth of fools. That's a rich picture. Verse 9, something similar. Like a thorn that goes up into the hand of a drunkard is a proverb in the mouth of fools. The picture there seems to be of a drunk who takes a thorn or a thorn bush and intends to do harm to somebody else, but he's drunk and he ends up cutting himself. And you can do the same thing with a misapplied proverb. Proverbs like these indicate that just simply memorizing the proverb, knowing it, is not enough. That's the intellectual component. That's the start. That's a start. But that's not enough. Knowledge by itself does not help us to navigate life well. What runs through the idea of wisdom literature is the idea that Proverbs are not just universal fix-alls. This is a key to understanding the book of Proverbs. They are context-sensitive. They are highly context-sensitive. And in the mouth of a fool who misapplies it, it can do a whole lot more harm than good. We'll come back to that theme later, Lord willing. But wise people, not only know how to interpret the words on the page, but they know how to apply the words in the proper context. So biblically speaking, the wise man, the wise woman, is the person who knows how to intellectually, practically, and morally understand the words of Scripture. It is a person who intellectually, practically, and morally knows how to understand the words of other people. It is a person who intellectually, practically, and morally understands situations and circumstances. And it is a person who intellectually and practically and morally knows how to apply the Word of God, and particularly in our context, the proper proverb to any given context or situation and navigate it well. I want to know more about that. Let me give you a final thought by way of introduction. Back to Proverbs chapter 1. The last verse in the prologue, verse 7, is often called the motto of Proverbs. This is the gasoline. This is the engine. This is what drives it. The motto of Proverbs, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. We'll come back to that more, but for now, the point to recognize: there is no wisdom without God. It is that straightforward. There is no wisdom, no true wisdom, without God. The wise are open to the truth that God has a foundational role in His creation. God has a foundational role in this world. And God has a foundational role in your life. The wise people recognize that. And the fool is the one who says in his heart, Psalm 14:1, there is no God. Can't help a fool. A fool excludes himself from wisdom. A fool, as verse 7 says, despises wisdom and despises instruction. He excludes himself from wisdom. By definition, fools cannot participate in wisdom because they reject God. So on the quest for wisdom, we're on a quest for wisdom. If you're a follower of Christ, you're on a quest for wisdom. The intellectual, practical, and moral skill for living, it is essential to begin with God. And Lord willing, we'll do that. The next two Sundays, I want to pick up the two driving metaphors that go through chapters 1 through 9 of Proverbs. And that is the path to life and Lady Wisdom. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we thank you for your wisdom. And we thank you for your wisdom incarnate in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to reaffirm and be aware and deeply appreciate that the fear of you is the beginning of navigating life well. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.